morning. It's good to see you this morning. It's good to be here with you and to worship God together. Amen?
Amen.
We are in lesson 5 of a series of lessons that we're doing, talking about becoming and being followers of Jesus and not being fans, no longer being satisfied with just being a fan, sitting in the stand cheering on, but being a true follower. That means that as a follower, we're on the field. We're making the sacrifices. We're laying it on the line for the Lord. That's what being a follower is all about. It's not just standing in the stands cheering on and holding up the number one. You know, we're number one and so forth. But it's actually being in the game, so to speak. The challenge of this study is really all about us taking a good hard look at ourselves and to see, am I truly a follower of Jesus or am I just being a fan? It's a realization that Jesus never wanted fans. He wants followers, people who are willing to lay down their lives for Him as He requires. If you want to be my disciple, you must take up your cross daily, deny yourself, and follow me. And so it's a challenge for us to look at our lives and to answer that question, am I a fan or am I a follower? This morning we're looking at the concept of being a follower of Jesus that has to do with the question, are we following Jesus or are we following rules? And there's a big difference between those two. Unfortunately, there are a lot of Christians out here who don't seem to understand the difference between following Jesus and following rules. And so we want to talk about that this morning. And we start out with just the idea and we look at this passage that was read for us this morning, and it continues on further. We just had read just a little bit of it. This passage in Matthew chapter 23, the issue is being inside out and upside down. And unfortunately, that would describe a lot of people's religion, a lot of people's relationship with God, so to speak. It's completely upside down from the way that it should be, and it's completely turned inside out. You see? And so as we look at this text in Matthew chapter 23, what we find happening here is that Jesus is confronting the religious leaders of His day, and He's doing it really matter-of-factly in your face. Okay? Jesus is going head-to-head, toe-to-toe with the religious leaders of His day, and the words that He is using and the things that He is saying to them are not intended to make them feel good. You see? What we find here is in this section is a series of what are referred to as woes that Jesus pronounces on these religious leaders. Now, you know, woes, when He uses the word woes, that's not the word that He's used, you know, the same as if you're riding on a horse and he's getting out of control and you want him to stop and you go, whoa! Okay? No, this is a term that it refers to, it's very negative, and it refers to the whole concept of that what you are doing is not where you need to be. You see, it is a very, very stern rebuke. That's how that word was used. You see? And so, Jesus, as He starts out and He's talking to this crowd of people that are there, there are religious leaders that are there also. They're hearing what Jesus is saying, but He wants those other folks that are out there listening to understand the difference between those who would claim to be following Jesus and those who are simply following a bunch of rules. And so Jesus confronts these religious leaders with these different woes. And each woe is a rebuke of their leadership as they have been charged with leading the Israelite people. I want you to turn over to verse 33, and you think that saying woe, you know, to these and that kind of a rebuke is bad. Look at what He says to them in verse 33. You snakes, you brood of vipers, He calls them. how will you escape being condemned to hell? Whoa. Okay? You see, Jesus, again, He's not here to pass along a bunch of pleasantries with these folks. This is where the rubber meets the road, so to speak, and Jesus is saying, look, enough is enough. You people are not leading the way that you're supposed to be leading. And He gives a warning to the followers. These religious leaders, they sit in Moses' seat, so you got to do what they tell you to do. But don't do what they do, because they don't practice what they preach. And He goes through here and He calls them hypocrites over and over and over again. You see? A hypocrite is someone who puts on an act. You see? That's really what it is. In the ancient times, that word was used to describe those who were involved in plays. You see? They were hypocrites. They were playing a role or playing a part, you see? And oftentimes in ancient theater and so forth, the person would wear a mask, and we're going to talk about that more in just a moment, but you would oftentimes have one person that was playing the role of several different characters. And for each character, they would wear a different mask. You see? But the understanding and the word that was used back then to describe these actors and actresses was hypocrites. You see? And that's what Jesus calls these religious leaders. They are hypocrites because they are not what they appear to be. They are one thing on the outside, but on the inside they are something completely different. So why is Jesus being so hard on these folks? Simply because, as I mentioned before, they have taken religion and their leadership, they have taken that and completely turned it upside down from what it should be. They have completely turned it inside out from what it should be. What it should have been was what was on the inside should have been what was on the outside, but it wasn't so. Because they were living as hypocrites. Turn over to Matthew chapter 15. And let's take a look at something here that is going on that Jesus uses again this opportunity to challenge those who would follow Him, and again, especially the religious leaders of His day. Chapter 15, some of the Pharisees and teachers of the law, again, the religious leaders, you see, they came to Jesus from Jerusalem and asked, "Why do your disciples break the tradition of the elders? They don't wash their hands before they eat." And Jesus replied, "Why do you break the command of God for the sake of your traditions? For God said, 'Honor your father and mother,' and anyone who curses his father or mother must be put to death. But you say that if a man says to his father or mother, 'Whatever help you might otherwise have received from me is a gift devoted to God,' he is not to honor his father with it. Thus, you nullify the word of God for the sake of your traditions. You hypocrites." There's that word again. You hypocrites. "Isaiah was right when he prophesied about you. These people honor me with their lips, but their hearts are far from me. They worship me in vain. Their teachings are but rules taught by men." You see, it was all on the outside, and what was on the inside was nothing but rotten. What they were doing, you see, they were breaking the traditions or the commandments of God for the sake of their own traditions, and Jesus calls them hypocrites. They followed the rules on the outside, but inside it was dead. And that's what happens when you get the inside out situation. You see? When things aren't the way they're supposed to be. Well, let's talk about, I mentioned a moment ago, those masks that sometimes people wear. And the question here, or the issue, what I want you to be thinking about is a choice between wearing a mask or having a match. And that is a match that's made in heaven, so to speak. That's referring to a relationship with God. You see, back in Jesus' day, amongst the Israelites, there were different groups of religious leaders. And one of those groups was the Sadducees. Now, the Sadducees were, they were of the wealthy, priestly class of people. They weren't very popular with the common folks, you see, because they kind of considered themselves to be way above everybody else. Now, one of the things about them was that if you were born into the priestly class, you see, then you were expected to be part of that that group. You were expected, if you were a male, you were going to be a part of the priestly class, and you would be a priest and serve in the temple and so on and so forth. In other words, they weren't allowed to choose whether or not to do that. They were born into that. They were born into their religious practice, so to speak. Okay? The problem with that was is that, again, for a lot of them, it wasn't real. It was something they were doing on the outside. They were wearing a mask, so to speak. See? Pretending to be religious, but they really weren't who they pretended to be. This group of religious leaders had a very, very strict adherence to the first five books of the Old Testament, the Pentateuch. That was the law. You see? They rejected the traditions that the Pharisees accepted and taught. You see? We'll talk about the Pharisees more in just a moment. But these were folks who tended to be very strict in their interpretation of the law, and everything resided on those first five books, the books of the law, where they got their reasons for doing everything. And they conducted themselves religiously because that's what was expected of them by everybody. This is how you're supposed to behave. This is what you're supposed to do. This is when you're supposed to do it and how you're supposed to do it and where you're supposed to do it. There were rules for everything that they were supposed to do, and they just simply followed the rules. Again, it was not something that they chose to do. It was something they were born into. You see, I think that there are a lot of Christians, a lot of fans of Jesus who are kind of like those Sadducees. They were born into their religion. It's not something that they particularly chose, but it's kind of, you know, my family has always been in this faith, in this church, and that's where I am, you see? And so sometimes what happens is when people are in that kind of way, they put on a mask. A mask that looks like they're a Christian on the outside, but inside their heart's just really not in it. And they're going through the motion, and they know all the right words to say and all the right phrases and all the right things to do. And they're doing all of those things, but again, their heart's not really in it. Because it's not something that they chose to do. Over the years in ministry, one of the things that I have found is that, you know, we get a lot of phone calls from people who I don't know really what else to call them except con artists, because that's really what they are. You see? And the interesting thing about con artists is they call the church and they'll say, you know, hey, I'm Brother So-and-so, and here's my situation. And they start telling you this long story about how they're traveling through the area and they don't have any gas money and their car broke down. They need a place to stay. They need some help, you know, with this and that and so forth. And I've kind of gotten to the point with those folks where I say, you know, I wish that these folks would come up with a different story. they must all go to the same con artist school and they learn the same story because they all use the same kind of thing. They're the same. But here's the interesting thing about it. When you talk to them, they know the right terms to use. If they're calling someone in the Church of Christ, they know to use the word elder and preacher, not pastor. Things like that, you see. And so they know the right terms. They know the right words to use to try to get what they want. Well, you know, it's really easy for us to look at folks like that and go, well, they're con artists. I'm not going to help them. And, you know, but I wonder how many people that are actually sitting in the pews are conning themselves into thinking that they're doing all the right things, but they're doing it for the wrong reason because they're wearing a mask and their heart's just really not in what they're doing. Fans or followers. You see, it's not enough just to know the right phrases and to know all the verses of all the songs and to know that we're going to meet at the next appointed time and to ask God to guide, guard, and direct us until that next appointed time. And all of those kinds of things that we know and recognize as, well, yeah, they're from the Church of Christ, you see, because they use the right phrases. Because it's what's inside that Jesus is really looking for, you see. It's not what's on the outside. And folks like that, folks that are fans, you see, they have a religion instead of a relationship. So they're wearing a mask, and they're not matched up with God, so to speak, in that loving relationship with Him. So we really need to look at ourselves and ask ourselves honestly, you know, have I been wearing a mask? Or am I really seeking a relationship from the heart with God? And then there's those Pharisees. That's another group of religious folks of Jesus' day. The folks that Jesus constantly was in conflict with, you see? And the question with these folks really has to do with their whole desire and efforts that they made at trying to be perfect, trying to earn their way to heaven. Now, Sadducees didn't have that problem because Sadducees didn't believe in the resurrection of the dead, you see, because it wasn't in the first five books of the law, you see. So they didn't have a problem with that part of it. But the Pharisees, they wanted to make sure that they were going to be in heaven with God and that they were not going to be punished by God. And from their perspective, the way to do that was to make sure that they didn't disobey God. And so they were insistent upon following the rules. The problem is that what they had done was that they made rules to keep people from breaking God's rules. And those rules were their traditions and they became the law for them. You see? And they had layers and layers and layers upon layers of rules and traditions. And they had imposed those on everyone else, but they themselves had loopholes in the laws, so to speak, that allowed them to get around those rules and laws, but yet they required others to follow them. But you see, basically, they believed that they would be saved by the efforts of their own works. And Jesus confronts them with this whole concept of salvation by following rules. That's not what Jesus is all about. It's not about the rules. It's about the relationship with Him. You see, it's about choosing love over laws. Now, are the laws important? Are we supposed to follow God's laws? Absolutely. But we've got to follow those laws from the heart, you see, doing what God wants us to do because of our relationship with Him. You see? not simply because the rules will get us where we want to go. You see, it really, really is all about the relationship. And I'm afraid there are some Christians who are much like those Pharisees of Jesus' day, that they're trying to earn their salvation by following all the rules. You see? And as long as I keep the rules, then God has to save me, right? And what they've done is they've lost the complete understanding of what grace and mercy is really all about. Because the reality is, no matter how hard we try, we can't keep all the rules. And that's why God gives us His grace. He gave us the rules to help us to live a better life, not to make life hard on us, you see. And as we try to follow those rules and live according to God's law, we're going to mess up sometimes because we're human. And that's where God's grace comes in. But that grace is built on and based on a relationship with God. In other words, you don't get grace simply because you're trying really, really hard to keep all the rules and you messed up on some. Because if that's all you're doing, again, the heart's missing there. And that's not what God is looking for. He wants our heart more than He wants anything else. I don't know if you've ever seen them, but I've seen them around lots of places, bumper stickers on people's cars that say, "Christians aren't perfect, just forgiven." Well, that's true, and I suppose that's a good saying, so to speak, but I want to suggest maybe a different one that I think is a whole lot better. Okay? It's that Christians aren't perfect, see, but rather what we are is authentic. Do you understand that? You see, Jesus doesn't want us and doesn't demand that we be perfect. What He does demand from us is that we be authentic or real. You see? That's the relationship. And you can't be authentic simply by following all the rules. You see? That authenticity comes from seeking a relationship with Him, and that's what He wants. He wants followers who are real, followers who are authentic, not fans who are just trying to chase after Him or trying to keep up with all the rules, which, by the way, since it can't be done, it's depressing. Okay? So look at yourself and ask yourself, have I been a fan who's been trying really, really hard to follow all the rules and getting discouraged and frustrated because I keep messing up? I'm here to tell you this morning, stop doing that to yourself. Stop doing that. See? Follow Jesus. Follow Jesus from the heart. And let Him help you to follow His law, but allow His grace to lift you up when you stumble and fall. What He wants from us is to be real, to be authentic followers of His, not rule keepers. It's got to be from the heart. So, are you a fan or are you a follower? Rules or relationship? What governs your life? We're going to stand together and sing a song as an invitation, and the invitation is extended to everyone, that maybe as you look in your life, you see, you know, my life as a Christian has really been all about trying to keep the rules and not mess up and trying to be perfect, and I know I can't do that. It's time for you to let Jesus really take control of your heart and to live a real, authentic life for Him. And if you're here this morning and you've not given your life to Christ yet, you're not a Christian, your sin is separating you from God and will continue to do so until you have it washed away. You can do that this morning. If you believe that Jesus is the Son of God and you're ready to make Him Lord of your life, then call upon Him as such. Repent of the sin that's separating you from God and have those sins washed away in the waters of baptism, you can do that right now. All you have to do is come up and let me know that that's what you want to do. I'll be up here in the front to receive anyone who'd like to come up here. Ted will be in the back. If you'd like to have a private conversation or prayer with him back there, he'll be back there to receive you. Let's stand together and sing. Huh?